from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
The Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. They are Jiffy Lube, and they sponsor the program. Brandon Ayuk was on the practice field for the 49ers today as they undergo day one of training camp. And then he left with John Lynch. I'm interested to know if that was a, hey, just got a call from your agent, let's get this thing done. Or if that was a, hey, jerkface, let's go talk.
I think it's really interesting because the CeeDee Lamb situation in Dallas is playing out the exact opposite way that the Ayuk situation is. Like, they're choosing the alternate paths forward. And I want to see which one proves to be more effective in closing the deal. Because, I mean, I honestly think CeeDee Lamb will be back in Dallas, and I think Ayuk will be back in San Francisco. But how does this work out? Does one get the deal done faster because he showed up to camp and the other one doesn't?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, the CeeDee Lamb stuff is wild.
I don't know.
There's a lot of
Cowboys crazy are in a tough spot. They didn't extend Dak yet.
I don't think they're going to.
They haven't extended CeeDee. I don't think Micah Parsons has a new deal yet.
Yeah. Crazy. I mean, I think it's possible it's because their owner, who likes to meddle in all this stuff, is in the middle of a court case for something completely separate.
Wait, say that again?
I think Jerry Jones is in the middle of a court case.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, he's in some sort of weird court case.
Trent Williams also not on the practice field for the 49ers.
Oh?
So he's in an interesting spot because he's kind of where Christian McCaffrey was, where he has a contract, but there's no guaranteed dollars left. So there's the Niners might wind up just doing with Trent Williams what they did with Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
Where they basically just guarantee him money that he was going to make already.
Okay.
So yeah, you have $12.5 million, whatever the number is. You had $12.5 million coming to you. It's not guaranteed, though, so we're just going to make sure that's guaranteed and just give you some security.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Wild. Not a huge deal. What would be funny is the meltdown if the 49ers get a Trent Williams, redoing his contract to guarantee him more money before a Brandon Ayuk deal gets done. That'd be a tough look.
Yeah.
I don't think it would affect anything. I'm guessing that's something Ayuk would be privy to, or the 49ers would say, hey, just so you know, this has nothing to do with your contract. This doesn't affect your money.
Well, I do feel like, listening to Kyle Shanahan, that they have very honest and upfront conversations with everybody.
Which I think is the problem.
Maybe.
I think that's probably why Brandon Ayuk's a little bit salty.
Yeah.
It's because the 49ers have no problem when he goes, I want $30 million. And they go, well, you were behind Deebo Samuel, another wide receiver who's only making 23.8 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And he had more touchdowns and more yards than you last year.
Mm.
Or total yards.
Total yards.
Or touches or whatever it was.
Yeah, I don't...
I think it was more touches.
Ayuk had a lot of yards.
Yeah, I don't think it was more. I don't think it was more total yards. Well, more touches.
Yeah.
And more touchdowns.
You know, Kyle, there's also this crazy thing that's happening while we're... The Morocco-Argentina game.
I'm sorry, the what?
Morocco beat...
And what is this?
Argentina in the Olympics. Like, the first game...
Men's soccer?
Yes, opening match of the Olympic football tournament between Argentina and Morocco on Wednesday caused chaos. Fan invasion happens. So,
what?
Argentina trailed 2-0. Then they scored a goal to make it 2-1. Then they scored another goal to make it 2-2. And then there was a fan invasion on the field. The ref said, hang on. Everyone cleared the stadium, but told the teams, hey, the game's not over and we're going to VAR the goal. And 2 hours later, they pull the goal. They say they disallow the goal. And they bring the players back out to finish the last whatever. And Argentina loses 2-1 to Morocco in the opening game of the Olympics. And now they're going to be dealing with like security issues and everything else. Like absolutely, absolutely crazy.
What is it with these Argentina matches?
There was a flare thrown. Bottles and cups were strewn all over the field. Absolutely wild. So we're going to have to wait and see. I need to see the video of this. This is absolutely crazy.
Man.
Yeah.
That's scary.
It's funny because people say that in the soccer world that the Olympics don't matter. It matters. It
definitely matters.
Yeah.
Like it's not on the level of the World Cup or the Euro Cup, but that matters, man.
Yeah.
It's the Olympics.
Oh no, this is wild. Yeah, I just think that for most soccer, like in Europe, they care more about Euro Cup and World Cup than they do about the Olympics.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely wild.
You always want to see something like new and different and fun when you go to a sporting event.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be part of that.
Part of this whole mess? Like like a fan invasion on the field?
Yeah, I don't want to be there.
I've told you, like, I went to a crazy bareback horse race in
yes.
Siena, Italy.
Yes.
Where it's called the Palio, and I was at the finish line. And,
right.
Like, again, the city square typically, it doesn't have any, like, fences or anything else, but they bring in, like, a big, giant, like a 3-foot-tall fence that they...
Barrier.
A barrier that they... So once you're in the middle, you're stuck there all day. So if you're one of the, I think it's either 10 or it's 20,000 that they fill in the middle of the town square, then they bring in dirt, and the dirt is the same dirt that they've been using for hundreds of years. They scrape the dirt, they keep it in a barn somewhere, and then they bring it back out.
That's crazy.
So the whole thing is wild, but to be at the finish line and then having these people go crazy and start screaming because their horse wins, jump over the rail out in front of bareback horses that some have their riders and some don't that are flying.
Oh yeah, that's right, because the riders will like fall off.
Oh yeah, they can hit each other with sticks and everything else. They can knock each other off. Like the whole thing is chaos, and it's like two laps around the city square. I'm watching this thing unfold, and then I'm watching people like crying and jumping out, and then now they're in front of horses that are literally going like 20-30 miles an hour. And all of a sudden, they've got to start dodging horses, and it's just chaos. Like the whole thing, you're like, what is happening?
This is where earlier in the show, we talked about how you exist in a world with no anxiety.
Yes.
You are just floating in the breeze all the time. You're vibing.
Oh, man. I'm holding onto a rail with a camera shooting. Like, forget this. I don't care who you are. They're pulling on me. Yeah.
That, I'm out.
Oh, no.
I would not be able. It would be full-blown survival mode for me the rest of the way.
Oh,
You tell me I'm in this enclosed barrier just with a mass of people. And then there's horses and there's people running, and I'm sure it's loud. No, sir.
People are trying to climb over the rail, and I am literally throwing people over the rail. I will, boom.
I will find a building, and I will sit in a building and look out a window and drink a beer and watch all this chaos and live tweet it.
I'm in.
That sounds horrible. That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
The Salinas sisters, the NHRA racers, are here in the building.
They have arrived.
Yes.
I wonder if they drove fast to get here.
I'm literally going to ask them.
Yeah, we're
going
to have to ask.
Yeah, because I've never gotten to talk to a person who races anything before.
No.
One of them does the drag racing.
The dragsters.
And one of them does motorcycles, but like drag racing motorcycles.
Yes. The ones that go like 200 miles an hour. No. I don't want to be on any motorcycle, let alone
one that goes 200 miles an hour. Dude. People were like, when I went to Key West, somebody went, oh, when you go to Key West, get a moped and just zoom around the island.
Mm.
Nuh-uh. Because it's not just, I don't know if you've ever been to Key West, but if you go to Key West, it's like one highway that looks like Arden Way almost.
Okay.
Like that vibe of buildings on each side, and there's those kind of, you know, businesses, like bakeries and grocery stores and Del Taco or whatever it is. And then you get down into downtown and it's like New Orleans.
A super small.
Yes.
Yeah. And where, half the roads go one way.
You're on a little moped, you're fine. But when you're on that freeway, no chance, dude.
No.
There's people on the freeway just I want no smoke with that. I'll be on a bus, thanks. There's a free bus system. Just hop on.
Can I throw my moped on the front of the bus and then get off at the next stop?
Strap it on there like a bike?
Yeah, yeah.
Nah, I can't.
Mm-mm. Oh, that's wild.
Yeah,
that's
so
wild.
Getting on a motorcycle sounds insane to me. Gianna, one of the Selena sisters who's about to come in, races motorcycles at like 200 miles an hour. Her sister Jasmine races cars at like over 300 miles an hour.
That's wild.
I cannot wait to ask them all about this life.
Yes.
This is going to be crazy. That's James. I'm Kyle. Jiffy Lube's the sponsor. We're the insiders on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader.
Now, back to the insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back into the insiders. That's James. I'm Kyle. The Selena sisters are here.
Hi.
There we go. You all good? There we go. Let's get your mics up. I know what I'm doing, I promise.
I just muted their mics on the stream, I believe.
Okay.
That's
there
why
we
we're
go.
Getting the feedback.
There it is. Okay.
There we go.
Now it's party time. So you guys race vehicles for a living.
Yep.
We will dive all the way into that. Is driving boring, like normal driving? Does that get boring for you?
Yes. I think, like, honestly, racing's ruined everything else for us.
How so?
So, well, like, I mean, there's nothing that's like faster than going 330 miles per hour in 3 seconds, you know? So, like, unless I become like a fighter pilot, which I don't think I'm smart enough to do that, I'm just gonna just cruise along and just like enjoy the scenery while driving everywhere else.
I feel like if you ever play like Grand Theft Auto, like, and if you play it too much, then you get in a car and you're like, I really just want to slam into somebody.
Yeah.
I really just want to like bump them off the road. They're driving me crazy. I can't imagine being like somebody goes that fast and then someone's like driving 62 in the fast lane and you're like, I can't handle this.
And don't do that. We don't advocate doing that.
Yeah. Safe driving. Yes. NHRA is all about take it to the racetrack.
There we go. Take it to the track.
So you guys have grown up around racing.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of your life. Your dad was in it. What is it like growing up in this sport? Because James's kids have grown up playing soccer. I grew up playing baseball. That is something that you play in school, and it's like part of that. What is that life like for you growing up in something that's not necessarily part of your academics?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting because, you know, it's like, we did sports as kids, you know, we did volleyball.
We
did that
good for
years.
We sucked.
Yeah, we weren't good. I mean, at all. I mean, have you seen how tall we are? Like, there's a reason we ended, you know, going drag racing. But, you know, it's one of those things that you can't really explain it to people. So it's like, you know, people growing up, they knew that we did this thing called drag racing, but nobody really understood what it was. And like, I feel like as kids, we couldn't really explain it. Like, yeah, you know, like our dad races this car and we race these mini cars. And people are like, okay, like, yeah, you know, like Fast and Furious. And we're like, yeah, sure. I'm just going to go with it. But no, I think it was pretty crazy. I mean, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would like try to explain it to my friends. I'm like, yeah, I'm going racing for the weekend. And I'd be like 14. They're like, no, you're not. Like, you can't drive a car on the street. I'm like, I know I can't. That's why it's super cool. But I think like as a kid, it was like kind of isolating because like none of my friends like understood what it was. But like now that we've like really like kind of this has become our careers, you know, and drag racing is what we do every single weekend. And so we have like our community now of like other kids and people that have done it where they're like, yeah, you know, we're the weirdos, you know, that would like miss all the school events, had no friends. Because we were always out at the racetracks too. I'm like, okay, cool. It wasn't like just us.
Yeah.
So it's nice now that you like there's other people that you know have done it.
That's awesome.
And you guys both started racing young, right? You were 14 and you were like 10.
Correct. Yeah. Yes.
What are you racing at that point though?
So the class that they have is called junior drag racing.
Yeah.
So now they moved it to what
like, we you said, can start like, racing at five.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. There's 5 year olds going down the racetrack right now.
Yeah. It's crazy. But I mean, it's such an amazing class because that's really the stepping stone for a lot of racers. And there's a handful of professional racers now that had started their racing careers from there and then had worked their way up. But it's like a really fun way for kids to just kind of get their feet wet. And, you know, it's drag racing is a very family heavy sport. You see a lot of families out there, and I feel like it's, you know, that's always something that we were so blessed to be able to do with our families. But you know, like Jasmine said, every weekend, you know, we were gone racing with our families, things like that. But it was pretty fun. Yeah.
Jasmine and Gianna Salinas joining us now, NHRA drag racers. I'd be terrified to get in or on a vehicle that moves as fast. So Jasmine, you've gone 330 miles an hour.
Yeah, 332.
That's crazy.
Yep.
And Gianna, I read on the internet 204?
I went 203.95 last weekend in Seattle.
Oh, like reset the track record.
Is that that's awesome. Wow, congratulations.
Yeah,
hang on. We got a button for that. Nice job. Good work, man. We got a button. Is there some kind of like that terrifies me. Like the idea of doing that, I get in my car, I start doing 80 and it starts to wobble a little. Is there a fear you have to overcome, particularly when you start?
I think so. I mean, I think as racers, we try to always keep that fear with us. To, you know, it's kind of a respect thing, respect to the cars. And, you know, when you're driving these cars that are going so fast and you're probably every room you're ever walking into, you're probably, you know, the fastest person in that room every single time. You know, that's a huge ego thing that can definitely like, you know, build up. And so I think keeping that fear with you is like definitely respect things. So like you don't ever think that, you know, that you're better than the car because these cars, you know, are wildly dangerous.
Sure.
And wildly fast. So, yeah, it's I don't know. I mean, I think also, too, like being, you know, like I'm 5'2". Gianna's like 5'3", maybe. I think we just measured. She's like an inch taller than me. So like we're pretty very small, you know, people. And for racing, that works. But, you know, when we go out, you know, just on the average street, like most people would never assume that we are race car drivers professionally doing this every single weekend, going these fast. And I think that's so empowering, you know, especially like for a lot of other young women and young girls at the track to see like, hey, like I'm taller than them, you know, or they're my height and they're doing these things that are super scary and they're scared of it, but they're still doing it anyways. And I think that's such an empowering thing for, you know, even grown men will come to me and they're like, I see you doing this and it's so scary and it makes me feel like I can do it. I'm like, that's awesome. Like you're like twice my age and it's still like inspiring them as well. And I think that's pretty cool.
That's how I feel right now.
You talk about the cars and how dangerous, like what's the horsepower on the drag racers that you drive?
So I drive Top Fuel Dragster and they're around 11,000 horsepower.
11,000 horsepower. And the motorcycles that you're on?
We make close to 400 horsepower.
Oh okay. And the motorcycles you're on, they have like the bar behind you that in case you like.
Correct. We like the bars. We like our wheelie bars. They pretty much keep us from doing a massive backflip on those bikes because they just have so much power.
It seems like that would be like, okay, so I don't know if this is bad form to ask, but like accidents, like it's not like when you don't want to like curse somebody and say, you say you break a leg, but like what is the worst like accident you guys have been in or have you guys avoided it?
So we've both experienced accidents. I have two in my racing career. One was my first rookie season. You know, I made a bad mistake as a rider. I had very limited experience. I had kind of an unconventional start to racing motorcycles. Most racers have a lot more experience. and then in bracket racing, and then they worked their way into professional or pro stock motorcycle. That wasn't really an opportunity that I had, so I just kind of got thrown into pro stock motorcycle, so I had to learn really fast. So I definitely did not have a lot of experience, so I made some really bad rookie mistakes my rookie year. And then my second crash was during an off-season test session out in Florida. My front fork tubes collapsed going through the finish line. Luckily, we were only making half-track runs, so I was only going like 150 miles per hour. I got very lucky. I just had some bad road rash. I had pretty bad bruising all over my body, but I broke my right foot. But other than that, I mean, when you think about, you know, like, looking back on it now, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, yeah, I was just going 150 miles per hour, you know? But I've spoken to riders that are, like, on the street, and they're like, I was, like, parking my bike, and I fell, and I broke, like, my whole leg. And I'm just like, okay. Like, you know, it's like, yeah. Hard to rationalize, really. You know, as dangerous as our sport is, it really is safe in regards, you know, we call it controlled chaos.
Mm-hmm.
I think almost all the racers you'll meet out there are control freaks, and which is funny because a lot of us, you know, we're doing this crazy, crazy thing that's so chaotic. But, you know, I'll let Jasmine speak about her crash, and, you know, hers was definitely on a bigger level because, you know, different because I'm not strapped in, but, you know, she is. So I think our danger levels are a little different. But
yeah, I crashed a couple of years ago, I think like 3 years now. And I like my race car went up in the air because we'll do this thing called pedaling. So like you'll get off the throttle and then try to get back in it. And I got in it a little too late. And so my car just like went straight up in the air and flew over the wall. And I went over the guardrail, like missed like the little signs where they like show like your run times. And then I like flipped 8 times. And somehow, you know, like that's what I'm saying. It's like all of our safety gear, yeah. The cars are designed. Mm-hmm. So when you crash, like it's meant to break apart in certain spaces and keep the driver safe. But I was able to literally climb out of the cockpit on my own. I was walking around angry. I was like, son of a. And, you know, I went to the hospital, get checked out, just had some internal bruising, but I was back at the racetrack, you know, a couple hours later. And that's just a testament to, you know, how much engineering goes into our sport and, you know, making sure that these cars are safe and that the drivers are safe.
One of the things, so I got really into a while back, the show Drive to Survive, the Formula One show on Netflix. One of the things that I was blown away by was all the work that goes into being a race car driver.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of things do you do off the track? Because I know it's not just like, hey, we're going to just hop in a car this weekend or hop on a motorcycle this weekend. We're just going to go. What kind of off the track work are you doing to prepare for this?
For me personally, just because of the motorcycle that I race, it has so much horsepower. And, you know, I run a V-twin now, so it has a lot of vibration, a lot of torque. It's very, very difficult to control. And these bikes, you know, we're going speeds, you know, 203 miles per hour, and they don't always go straight. So, you know, and we're experiencing crosswind, headwind, tailwind, things like that, you know, tire spinning. So to be able to control that and catch that, you have to be pretty strong. So for me, I have to, you know, be working out 5 to 7 times a week, eating really healthy. And that was actually a big thing when we started traveling. I had to experience humidity for the first time.
Ew.
Like, oh, it took me like a full season. I was like, oh my God. I was like, what is this? I was like, we don't have this in California. And so then I started doing like hot yoga, and someone had suggested it, and they're like, it helps with your breathing. It helps, you know, having to experience all this humidity. And in my head, I was like, I won't need that. But then like I started doing it, and then I started going to all these races where, I mean, we had a race in Virginia a couple weekends ago. It was like 103 in our pit. Humidity was like 90% or something. And, you know, she's having to suit up in her suit. I'm having to suit up in my suit. I'm in full leather. We're sitting in the staging lanes in the sun. And that's like, that's a whole nother thing that people don't see, you know, the behind the scenes of like the physical and like the mental part of racing is like how, you know, difficult it can be. So, you know, we both have to live, you know, relatively pretty healthy lifestyle. And really, you know, for me, just to be able to control the bike, I have to be working out all the time.
Jeez.
Yeah. I want to say that I'm supposed to be working out, but my boyfriend's standing in the corner and he's going to call me out. I am supposed to be working out, and I keep saying it. So when I get back now that I'm saying this on this, I will 100% be working out. But yeah, same thing. Yeah. I, yeah, we, I promise. Like, it's the same thing. I'm trying to work out, you know, just your core is really huge. Like, for runs like us in our cars, we're experiencing up to, you know, 5-6 G's on a run. And then when we pull our parachutes, we experience a negative 8 G's deceleration instantly. And so, you know, after a run, I'll get out of the car and I'm like hyperventilating and trying to catch my breath. And like, people are like, did you just run like a marathon? I'm like, that's what I feel like. I don't even run, but that's what I like envision like running a marathon's like. And I'm so exhausted. You know, I think if you do, we'll do qualifying Fridays and Saturdays. And then on race day, we just have 4 rounds of eliminations. And so by the end of the weekend, at most, we've ran, if we've gone all down the track, all 4 like times on race day, and then all 4 qualifying runs, we've run maybe 12 seconds. But the amount of like G-forces that we're experiencing, and then the heat and the adrenaline rush, it's so much on your body. And I think that's been a huge thing, is just like focusing obviously on getting fit, but then like your mental like fitness too is like a huge thing.
How long does it take the adrenaline to go away? Do you feel it like the next day?
I think mine, like, I'm getting used to like just going like high, low all the time.
Yeah, yeah, definitely just, like, for the same.
Really weird.
Yeah, but. So all I know is that like when I come home from a race weekend, I'm exhausted. Like, yeah. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to look at anybody. I just want to go to work and just like, I need silence. Because I'm just like, you know, you're around, you're going nonstop all weekend long. Like Jasmine said, your adrenaline's pumping all the time. And it's like you're going that high, low. And you just like you go home and you just need like some sense of normality for a few days before we head out again.
Does it still freak you guys out watching each other race or watching your dad race?
When Jasmine first started this year, it wasn't more of like freaking out. It was more of like excitement, honestly. Like I would get emotional because I was like, you know, I've had the privilege, this is my 5th year racing professionally, so I've, you know, been out here doing this for a couple years, being able to follow my dream. And this was Jasmine's first season out here doing this professionally. And it's like, I remember the first race in Pomona when she stepped in there, it was already an emotional weekend for us. And like, she went down the track for the first time, and I remember I'm holding my other sister and we're like, don't cry, suck it up. And we're just like, she's doing what she wants to do. And like, we were just so excited because it's like we finally got to see her, you know, something that she had been working towards for so many years, like finally get to experience. So like, I don't get scared when she runs of anything. Like, I'm in the back, like, come on, get him. Like, I'm super excited, like on the line, just out there supporting her. So
yeah, we both watched each other crash. So we're like, okay, we got that out of the way. Yeah. Now it's like, we know what each other's capable of, and we've been watching each other grow in this sport. So yeah, we're definitely like, when she messes up, I'm like, Jonah, you should have done better. I know, like, she's on the starting line too, like yelling at me, like, Jasmine, like, you had this. So it's pretty awesome.
If someone was going out to Sonoma this weekend for the first time, what can they expect?
Well, so like I said earlier, you know, Friday and Saturday is qualifying. Friday, we do have a night run. So night runs are really special if you can make it out. When the top fuel cars go, and even with the funny cars are going, we get these massive, massive header flames. And so when you got 2 cars going down, just the whole track lights up with these like 8-foot like tall header flames that are so big, and you can feel like the heat going down the track. Like, even on like regular day, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, any other time, you're sitting in the grandstands and like the grandstands are shaking. The first time I went to Sonoma Raceway, like for an NHRA event, I was a little kid and I didn't know what to expect. And we're walking from the parking lot, and then suddenly I hear this loud noise take off and like the ground shaking and all the car alarms start going off. I'm like, what is this? Like, I thought like there was an explosion. And my dad's like, those are the race cars. And I was so afraid to go over and sit in the grandstands. And then once you're in there and you feel like inside, you're sitting like the top of the grandstands, because we had like nosebleed seats.
Sure.
And you could still feel like your insides like vibrating as the cars go by. So I mean, just the car experience alone. And then another thing that's really cool about NHRA drag racing is every single ticket is a pit pass. So basically, like most other motorsports, you have to kind of, you know, buy extra extra tickets, you know, to get greater access. But with all of these, it doesn't matter, you know, like what your ticket is. Like, kids and adults, everybody can walk up to all of the pits, meet all the drivers, and watch all of the race teams, you know, take apart the race cars and rebuild them for the next rounds.
That's cool.
And so it's the access that you have is so much more greater than most other motorsports have.
That's really cool.
Yeah, there'll also be a specialty race this weekend, the Get Trick Shootout, which will just be for the Pro Stock Motorcycle class. But, you know, you'll get a little bit more bang for your buck with your tickets, because it's like a race within a race. So you'll get to see the bikes run at least a couple more rounds. So it'll be pretty fun.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah.
Might have to make it out. I don't got anything going on this week.
Please do.
Might have to pull it up. All right. Very good. You got anything else?
No, I'm good.
Very good. This was, we could do this for half an hour more, but we got, I know you guys got stuff to do. We got stuff to do. So we appreciate you guys so much for stopping by. Best of luck this weekend.
Yeah, thank you.
And we will, next time you're in town, stop on by.
Yeah, we definitely will.
Appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jasmine Salinas, Gianna Salinas, go check them out at Sonoma Raceway, NHRA Drag Racers. Going to be a really good time. Can't wait. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
No. We'll talk about it. And welcome back in. James Hamm there. Kyle Madsen here. Jiffy Lube Omnipresent. They sponsor the program. Shout out to the Salinas sisters again. Jasmine and Gianna, NHRA Drag Racers. Go check them out at Sonoma Raceway this weekend. I genuinely might go. I didn't think I'd ever get into F1.
Yeah.
And I'm not. I'm still not. The stuff that like, you're a Premier League guy. The stuff that starts at like 5 or 6 a.m., nah.
Yeah, nah. It's tough.
I can't do it. And I know there's alternate broadcasts of the F1 races that you can get, but I just can't. I'm not. I can't. But I will watch Drive to Survive. I didn't think I would ever be into it. So now I want to go out to even a drag race. I think it'd be a blast.
I totally agree. I'd check it out. Kyle, we did have breaking news while we were
away. Did we?
Sacramento Kings have signed Orlando Robinson to a one-year deal, according to Adrian Wojnarowski.
That was supposed to be air horns, but that's fine. Applause works too.
Robinson played in 67 games last year for the Miami Heat. I don't know. Yeah, long, athletic. Hey, that's what we've been asking for.
Hey, can he play the four?
It's possible. It's possible. So, yeah, he's
a 7 foot two. Yeah. My guy can play the four. Oh, Fresno State guy.
Yeah. And young, 24 years old. Again, you know, he's played for the Miami Heat the last 2 years. 2.8 points per game last year, 2.3 rebounds, 0.2 blocks. Shot 53.3% from three, but on only 0.4 attempts per game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're looking at his per 36, he's like 11.7, 9.9 with 0.9 blocks. Long, athletic. Yeah, the type of guy that even if you're not, you know, again, he's going to be your second slash third center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to compete for minutes with Alex Len. Mm-hmm. That's what it at least looks like. A 1 year deal in the NBA, a lot of times can like partially guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be interested to see sort of what his contract looks like. But yeah, he's, a local kid. Yeah. So,
this
from
is
LA.
This is the exact kind of flyer I wanted the Kings to take.
Yeah.
If you weren't going to go make a move for Kyle Kuzma or whoever,
mm-hmm.
this is the kind of flyer to go take. This is a Kessler Edwards type of move where, okay, Kessler didn't work out, but you saw the vision.
Yeah.
I see the vision here with Orlando Robinson. Maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't. I'm not saying the Kings are title contenders suddenly because of this guy, but there's I think a real world where at some point this season he's playing legitimate minutes for you at the four and maybe some at the five.
Yeah, there's always that possibility. And if you look at his numbers at Fresno State in the 2021-22 season, 19.4 points, 8.4 rebounds, 2.9 assists, shot 35.2% from three, blocked 43 shots in 36 games. So, like, this is a guy who, you know, has some talent. He was on a two-way for two seasons with Miami and then was promoted from a two-way to a regular contract last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. Like, this is, again, this is a type of flyer. Like, we talk about Dominic Barlow. Mm-hmm. Dominic Barlow's stats at the pro level look very similar to this. And, yeah, this is a type of guy that I think the Kings need at least one or two of, hiding on the bench, where you have something different that might actually work out for you. And, yeah, good signing. 14th man on the roster.
Here's how I'm going to judge this. Because I'm not going to find this on any of the podcasts I listen to. Sometimes the best move is to ask a fan.
Mm.
Hit up a person who's super dialed into a team and ask them their thoughts on a player, a move, a play, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the time, but sometimes. My buddy David is a diehard Miami Heat fan.
Okay.
82 games a year, 48 minutes a game, that kind of guy.
He's in.
So I just texted him thoughts on Orlando Robinson, and whatever he says is my take.
Oh,
I'm riding with whatever my guy Dave says.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll
keep everybody apprised.
Here's I'll break down what he looked like at the combine a couple of years ago.
Please.
He measured in without shoes at 6'9 3/4, 6'11" with shoes, 7'4" wingspan.
Give me that vert.
Yeah, he was 244 pounds, which I think he's playing less than that now. So we're talking more center than power forward. And then let me look at his vert. Robinson, 23-inch standing vert, 27.5-inch max vert. So maybe not a super, super athlete, but definitely a guy who's functionally, you know, knows how to play. So
cool.
Interesting.
Lovely. Because I don't want this to come across like we're like, yeah, wow, Monty's done it again. I love the idea. The idea is good. It's not a guard. It's not a guy who's 6'6". If this guy plays, he's going to fill a position of need if he plays.
Yeah.
He might be Kessler Edwards.
Well, that and I think if you look at the guys that they brought in like during Summer League or with their two ways this year, it's kind of like the same style that you're talking about, but this guy's a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
He's had more time to mature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not getting you're basically getting for rookie scale. I mean, he's going to be a first or second year player cost wise. So you're looking at like less than $2 million. So it's good value. And like, look, guys like this, if you have to move off of them at some point, it's okay. You only sign them to a 1 year deal and it's sort of a make good situation.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I see him as like a guy that maybe he does fit in. Maybe there is either, you know, he plays some time with the G League or he plays some time with the parent club, but either way, you're getting somebody who can actually play basketball and who has played in a really, really good program. So, and I mean, there isn't a team in the league that develops talent better than the Miami Heat.
Mm-mm.
And so it's possible you're getting a guy who might just be a little bit more advanced than some of the other options.
It kind of makes me a little concerned that they let him go. But yeah. They've
got,
like I said, I like the idea.
A roster crunch there. Yeah. That's part of the problem that they have, that they only have so many roster spots and they had kind of come up against it. So
yeah. I don't know how to belabor this point anymore, but
it's a flyer.
Yes. And it's a flyer on a person who is the size and skill set that the Kings need.
He's a player archetype.
Thank you.
That's how I would look at him. Like, how does he look next to, next to Domantas Sabonis for a couple of minutes here and there? Is he a type of player that maybe you can build, go find a version of that, or maybe he develops? And so, yeah, I mean, I talk about this all the time. Basketball, the NBA is more than any other sport, I believe, about opportunity. Mm-hmm. If you never get the real opportunity, then you may never, show what you can do and develop. And some guys, Keon Ellis, like, goes out there and takes advantage of an opportunity and becomes something much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's always that possibility. And so for a young guy, this is it's a good flyer.
Maybe they can go like reverse Hassan Whiteside, where Hassan Whiteside comes to the Kings and figures it out.
Oh.
Instead of vice versa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, between the time he left here and the time he got to the Miami Heat, he had played almost everywhere you can possibly play in the world. He had played from China. He had played in Turkey. He had played, this is Hassan Whiteside, I think he had played in Lebanon. Like, there were a lot of places where you're like, wow, Hassan Whiteside played there.
Yeah.
And then you find your way back into the league and you develop the right way. And sometimes, again, with big men, this is something that I think has been lost. Big men usually take more time to develop than any other position on the court.
Yep.
And so I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued because, again, this is the type of guy that you wanted the Kings to at least kick the tires on, as opposed to, say, Nerlens Noel, like someone that you kind of know who he is and who didn't play last year in the league. I'd rather give it to somebody who's at least, they're hungry to show what they can do right now, as opposed to like a 28, 29, 30-year-old who might be on the back end of, trying to fight back in the league.
Yeah. All right. Orlando Robinson joining the Sacramento Kings, and
yeah,
that's where that's at.
Yeah.
They now have 14 players on the roster.
14 so they're probably done, on the roster. Right? Maybe. I mean, you might bring in one or two. And then again, we don't know what this contract is. It could be a like $250,000 guarantee for camp. And it could be a full-fledged guaranteed contract. But keep in mind that the Kings, like, the luxury tax is looming. It's right there.
Mm-hmm.
And also keep in mind that they're a team that has found great value in keeping a roster spot open in the past. So if you need to do a two-for-one or something, you get some flexibility.
There's that. We got the handoff coming up. Kenny Caraway in the building in his Sac Republic jersey today. He's been a big jersey guy lately.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Malik Monk, he had the Sac State jersey on yesterday, got the Sac Republic jersey on today. I'm glad Kenny is here because this is something that I was going to talk about earlier, but now we have Kenny in the house, and this is something that you said.
Oh, boy.
And I wanted to talk about it.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
No, it's not bad. This is not. It's just we talked a lot of A's today. I want to loop the Giants into the conversation.
Can I turn this on? Or?
Yeah, you can turn that on for sure. Yeah. You're in the building. Kenny Caraway. Oh, can we get him? There we go. Kenny Caraway, it's time for the handoff.
What's going on?
You called the San Francisco baseball Giants, this season's Giants, the most depressing Giants team in the last 20 years. Why?
They're just lifeless. They're just lifeless. There's no real hope. We all saw this coming. And then they tried to sell us a dream, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's the other thing. Like, if we knew, if Farhan and the Giants would have came out at the beginning of the year and said, you know what, we need to just rebuild everything. We need to strip this thing down, get the payroll right, mm-hmm. Get these young guys out here, you know, and that's the way we're going about it. Cool. But, we're getting Blake Snell, and we really think we could do this, and Robbie Ray, and Solaire, and we can, it's like, stop, bro. And then on top of that, they messing with the young guys. Yeah. Emilio Ramos, who ended up being one of their all-stars, they sent that guy down early. The only reason he came back up was because of injury. So it's just a clown show over there, to be honest with you. Like, Farhan don't know what he's doing. He don't have any real plan or objective. And then, like, a lot of the stuff, it goes up to the ownership, and Charles Johnson just doesn't care about what made the Giants special before. They were really tapped into their history, to the city, mm-hmm. you know, when Peter McGowan and Larry Bear were there, and Charles Johnson just doesn't really care about baseball.
No, I don't think he does. They're the worst thing a team can be. They're mid and boring.
Yes.
We were talking about this earlier. There's nothing worse. If you're terrible, at least there's like, hey, a funny thing might happen, or mm-hmm. you might be looking forward to the draft, or maybe you had a high pick who you're watching. With the Giants, it's cool. You're going to be about 4 or 5 games under 500.
Right.
Not going to make the playoffs.
Right.
None of your young guys, Elliot Ramos being good was a mm-hmm. big deal, and Hayden Birdsong's been fun.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, it's disappointing.
I look at a situation with them going up against the Dodgers. Obviously, the Dodgers are, you know, part of the cream of the crop in the National League and all this other stuff. But you watch the Giants play against the Dodgers, and they're so far away from having
stark.
A chance to win. And mm-hmm. it's not even that, like, inconceivable to be able to do it. Like, the Dodgers spend a lot of money, but they got their hat handed to them by the Phillies. They struggle against the Braves. Like, you can build a team that can play and be on that level. And Farhan's vision of what to do with this team is just so far away from being able to compete with those teams. It's a joke. And then baseball is like kind of tricky because the Giants will play the Phillies and win 2 out of 3, right? And mm-hmm. it'll be like, oh, see, they beat 2 out of 3. Right. No, you're not on the
then
same level.
Then lose 2 out of 3 to the Rockies.
Right, like you're not on the same level.
The fact that the Dodgers can just beat the Giants with Teoscar Hernandez – who's a really good player, but when they're fully healthy, they're fifth best dude.
Yeah.
Fact. And he's just solo homer, base hit, night, game's over.
Mm-hmm.
With their second ranked pitching prospect making his major league debut.
I don't understand.
It's just crazy.
I don't understand like what goes on. Like even now to this day, but like in the past as well, like talk about the A's and, you know, they have their shortcomings with being able to pay people or being willing to pay people or doing all this stuff, but they always found talent. Dodgers always find talent. How does this franchise never find talent?
It's insane.
Even when they have top tier picks, the Giants, and then you hear about them for years, hear about this guy who's the next coming of this, and then they fizzle almost every single time. At least with the A's, they bring him up. And then they trade him for something else, and
you're back
in the same loop with the Giants.
And then they find another guy.
Luciano and Matos. And what happened to Hunter Bishop and Joey Bart? And it's just these dudes.
So I still believe in Luciano. I think he's a good ball player. They called him up before, and it didn't go great with his defensively.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But he's tearing up
not
AAA. Yeah, he's tearing up AAA. I still think he's a good ball player. Ramos, I always thought was a good ball player. He panned out. That's a good look. And Matos, I like him. He was tearing it up earlier, too. And I will say this, but this is a different regime. There was a moment when they were hitting everything. That's when they won the World Series. Winning the World Series was the pitching that they built. It was Lincecum, Kane, Mad Bum, finding Brian Wilson, Sergio Romo, all those guys. Like, that's what they built. Buster Posey, Pablo Sandoval, Brandon Crawford. That was their moment.
Brandon Belt.
Yeah. Brandon Belt, when the system was working.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, whatever Brian Sabian was doing, they didn't like. And they said, yo, we need a different way. And they brought in Farhan with his
from the Dodgers.
No, he's with them. He with them. I'm definitely convinced. He's with them. This is all part of their master plan, and it's working out perfectly.
It feels interesting how the A's were known for the same thing. Like, it's the Hudson, Mulder, Zito. Mm-hmm. And then when they did trade those guys, they brought in other young pitching, Danny Heron. Why am I drawing a blank?
Joe Blanton.
Yeah, they just kept bringing in more and more pitching prospects. Mm-hmm. Now I feel like they don't have any pitching prospects. Mason Miller becomes like a superstar closer, but mm-hmm. we're not hearing about like the next version that's coming up. And it's like, right. even like mm-hmm. AJ Puck, we were waiting for years and it never happened.
Jesus Luzardo, same thing.
Yeah, yeah. All these guys who were waiting to come in and like be this guy. Mm-hmm. And now they don't have any of that, but their hitters are coming through. And you're like, oh, mm-hmm. all right. You got some talent here that's developing. Yeah. It's interesting to watch, but I at least, you know, being bad and boring is the worst. Like, I cover the Kings from, you know, 2010 to 2017, where, like, that was bad basketball. Almost every year is bad, but they were never boring. We had two full-blown relocation attempts. We had mm-hmm. DeMarcus Cousins doing what he's doing all the time. You've got, you know, like, the chaos of the George Karl situation. It was always something with mm-hmm. brewing, the change of ownership, the new stadium, all these things. Yeah. And then you had this one little lull where it's like the 2017, 18, 19, where it's like, uh-oh. Yeah. This is, not only are you in a brand new building and you need to keep selling out that brand new, but you are not good. And
a lot of Willie Cauley-Stein.
a lot of what's going to happen next? Where you got to bring in a Vince Carter just to bring some excitement to the offseason, knowing that he's 40 years old and he's not really going to help that much.
The biggest thing with the Giants right now is pick a direction. I think after winning, at least for me, won three championships in 6 years or whatever the case may be, I've seen more championships with them than I would have ever imagined. They have the cachet as a franchise to strip it down and just work on building the farm system up. But they're doing this little stupid, no, we think we can get it done. And then when they're wrong, like we knew they would be, well, you know, we're going to have to relook at this thing and, you know, might have to be sellers again. The bottom line is get that guy out of here. Ron doesn't know what the hell he's doing. That's the problem.
Winning 107 games is the worst thing that could have happened to them.
Mm.
Because now they're talking themselves every year into, oh, hey, if this guy can just be Darren Ruff.
Oh, jeez.
Dude, hey, that happened. It was an awesome year. It was crazy. It was so much fun. But now they're trying to do that every year instead of going, hey, forget Blake Snell, forget Matt Chapman, Casey Schmidt, you're the everyday third baseman.
Yeah, where's he at?
Luis Matos, you're in the lineup every day. Marco Luciano, you're in the lineup every day. Like, that's just Patrick Bailey. Get Blake Sable back up. Like, just getting these guys in major league lineups, getting them at bats, and figuring it out.
They gave this guy an extension. They gave this bum an extension this offseason.
He can't play.
No disrespect.
What do you guys got coming up on D-Lo and Casey?
We got to talk about the final nail in the coffin for the rest of the NBA. It is over. It is over.
Oh, word?
Because the Kings have signed that guy.
Oh.
It's over.
Can't wait to hear about it. D-Lo and KC coming up next. James and I will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Bye. Thanks, Shotty Gang. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, guys.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.